like to extend a warm welcome to you as well. But we will be diving straight into the scriptures. So turn over to John chapter 16 if you can, please. We have been going through the book of John. John chapter 16. If you were here with us last week, Brandon did an awesome job by talking about the opposition to the mission. That we will have opposition if we choose to live as disciples and choose to live a different life, that we will have opposition, that it will be difficult for us. And that, you know, it will be very, very much so a challenging life that we live. But that in 15:26, if you look there really quickly, Jesus says that he will send an advocate. That this advocate is going to come down and be sent to us. This advocate would come down to testify about Jesus with the disciples. To help them, in a sense. Jesus spoke previously about this in John 14:16. I'll read it out really quickly. Jesus says in 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Right? And so that's what we're up to right now. And so today, in John 16, we will learn more about this advocate. Mark talked about the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. So today we'll just be all about the Holy Spirit. So it's John 16. Bible reads, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you who asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Amen. Well, let's say a quick prayer, and then we'll dive into the passage. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we're so grateful to be here this morning, to be able to come and worship you together with one another. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to worship you. We're not worthy to have a relationship with you, to speak to you, or to have any sort of worship thrown up to you. But God, you do listen to us and you do hear us, which is incredible. Father, we are so grateful for your Holy Spirit, that it is in our lives and that we have some sort of understanding of it. And I pray this morning, God, as we look into the Holy Spirit, the advocate, that we really can understand. Give us open hearts to hear what we need to hear. And Lord, please be with me. Help me to be clear and that you can speak through me, God. We love you. We thank you again for this time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, there's quite a little bit in here, but we'll just take a look at two things briefly. So the two points I'll make today is, number one, that the advocate convicts, and point number two would be that the advocate leads. Come on. All right. So point number one, the advocate convicts. Now, you could imagine what it would be like to be sitting there with the disciples talking to Jesus face to face, and then Jesus saying, hey, in verse 7, as he says, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So the disciples had just heard Jesus say, you know what, it's actually better that I'm going to go away. It's better and be with you. And I don't know about you, but if I was one of the disciples hearing that, I would have been bewildered. Just, what? How can you go away? You're Jesus. How is you going away going to be beneficial for us as disciples? How is that going to be beneficial? But these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, it is actually better for me and it's for your good that I'm going away so that you can have the advocate come to you. And I mean that, the Greek word for this word advocate It means the helper or the comforter, right? Even that idea that Jesus says it's better for him to go away, that's a point within itself that we can think about. I mean, right here today, do you believe that it is actually better that Jesus is not here in the flesh and that we have the Holy Spirit? Because I know for myself, I definitely think about, if Jesus was just here, if Jesus was standing right next to me in the flesh, then all my co-workers at work would believe me. All the people on my campus would believe me. All the people at school would believe me. If Jesus was here in the flesh, but Jesus said, no, it's better for me to not be here, to go so that you have the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit can come and be with you. And this is the same Holy Spirit that is here today. Right, the Holy Spirit that Mark was talking about, that Holy Spirit is here and dwelling with us today. And I guess the question to ask is, okay, well then who has the Holy Spirit? Or where is the Holy Spirit? In that passage, again, it's awesome that Mark looked at that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 39, Mark read, I'll read it again. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Right? And so the far off, those that are far off and who the Lord God our call, are the people, are us, that made the decision to make Jesus Lord and be baptized. And that's what we believe. Right? That the Bible teaches that we, who are disciples, who have in faith made the decision to repent and be baptized, we have received the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has come into us and dwells inside of us. That energy that Mark was talking about, that Spirit of God is inside of us, which is an incredible thing. But I also do believe that the Holy Spirit can work in the life of those as well who not necessarily believe yet. That people who have eight to nine, Jesus says, when he comes, referring to the advocate of the Holy Spirit, I'll interchange the words sometimes, but when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Right? He says when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I think it's an interesting passage as well, this one here, because usually when Jesus or the disciples, even Paul and John in the epistles as well, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, most of the time, it is in reference to how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of those who believe. Right? The lives of the believers, people who have become our disciples. But in this passage here, Jesus is actually talking about how it's going to affect the world. How the Holy Spirit will affect the world. And the word here for proof, when he says he will prove the world to be in the wrong, the word is actually, in the Greek, is elenko. And this word means to convict, to refute, or to bring into the light. So Jesus is saying that the advocate will bring to light or convict the world to be in the wrong about these three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? Very quickly, sin, here in verse 9, he gives a little bit of explanation a little bit, right? He says, about sin, because people do not believe in me. And here, it's the idea that the Holy Spirit will come to the world and he will convict the world about sin. That there is sin in the world. Right? That there is sin in the world and sin in our individual lives as well. Verse 10, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Right? And it's the idea here that the Holy Spirit will come and prove the world that there is a standard of righteousness. That there is actually a benchmark of righteousness, and Jesus was that benchmark when he was here on the earth, but because he's going away and going to the Father, the Holy Spirit will come and continue to hold that standard, hold that benchmark of righteousness, and to convict people that, in sin, now there's actually something you need to do, which is be righteous and follow that. And verse 11 about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And if you are convicted about the first thing about sin, and then you're convicted about righteousness, then you will be convicted about judgment. that you will realize that there is going to be judgment on this world. Jesus makes reference here to the prince of this world, which is Satan. And in John 12:30, he says, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of judgment, that there is judgment. Why? Well, because the prince of this world, Satan, was condemned and driven out as well. He was judged. He was condemned. And guess what? Ourselves too, we have to face judgment in the end as well. And all this proving and convicting by the Holy Spirit, conviction of this world would only be done by the Holy Spirit. Right? Not us. The Holy Spirit. And so the question is for us, okay, what does it mean then for us? All this talk about the Holy Spirit and the condemning of the world and the convicting of the world, what does it mean for us? Well, for us who have repented and been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I think we do need to remember that we were once convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That we, at one point, when we made the decision to make Jesus Lord, we saw the fact that, oh my goodness, yes, I am in sin. Yes, I need to be righteous, I need to change, because there is going to be a judgment in the end. We felt that. We went through that process. And as we have had that done in our lives, that we have been convicted of those things, as well, we have to remember that it is not us then that is meant to convict other people, but as the scriptures say, it is the Holy Spirit's job to do that. I don't know about you, but I think for me, I can sometimes put a lot of onus on my and responsibility on myself to try and convict other people of their sin. When I step into a Bible study, when I step into a D time, it's my job to try and get them to see their sin and to be convicted about it. And yes, we do have a job to do, but ultimately the convicting is not done by us. The convicting and all of that, to the reproof and the exposing of sin is done by the Holy Spirit. Yep. It is not our job, it's not our place to be the ones to convict others. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict others. But what is our job then? Well, our job is to testify. In John 15, verse 27, Brandon read it out last week, Jesus said, "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Our job is to testify, to talk about Jesus, to show Jesus to people and show, hey, this is the standard of righteousness that you need to come to. But in the end, the Holy Spirit's going to convict. The Holy Spirit is someone. And then I guess another question that we need to ask ourselves for those who have made the decision to become disciples and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is, we were once convicted by those things and had a soft conscience to the reality of sin and righteousness and judgment, but do we still have that soft conscience? Are we easily pricked by the Holy Spirit? Maybe you do something that you're not too sure about. You do something and you're not too sure. You think, I feel a little bit uneasy about this. Maybe you say something insensitively to someone. Maybe create some sort of bitter feelings towards someone because of what someone's done and you don't talk about it. Maybe you've cheated someone for something. Maybe at school you've been deceitful, gotten answers from, someone else to cheat, or I don't know what it is. Maybe at work, maybe you've been deceitful about the numbers that are going into that report. Maybe you've been deceitful a little bit to the client that's called up and asked you, hey, what's happening? And you've been deceitful about that. Or maybe you've been deceitful to your boss about what's truly going on. And you feel a little bit uneasy about that. You feel a little bit pricked. And those little things that you wouldn't have even realized or recognized as sin before you became a Christian, do you realize that those things are sin now? Do those things easily prick you that when it happens, oh my goodness, no, that's wrong. That's sin, and I need to be righteous and I need to change. And the reason that I think, that we should be challenged by our sin, and maybe not necessarily convicted, is because if you've been a disciple and you made the decision to make Jesus Lord, Jesus was convicted for your sin. Right? Jesus was the one that was convicted for your sin. I realize, man, my life, oh my goodness, I've stuffed up so much. And there is no way that I could ever become, I was innocent of that at all. But the fact that Jesus went on the cross 2,000 years ago, he became convicted for my sin. He became convicted for your sin. So I don't know if necessarily we are convicted and guilty of our sin, because Jesus has taken that up, but we are definitely challenged. We definitely have to be challenged by our sin. And so all those little things that you maybe didn't even recognize at first when you were trying to come to Christ were sin, do you realize that that is sin now? Are you challenged by those things now? And then are you challenged to be righteous about those things? Brothers and sisters, it shouldn't take a lot for us to be challenged by our sin. It shouldn't take much for sounding you. It should be so easy for it to come out. And that is the Holy Spirit working in us, trying to wake us up and say, hey, what are you doing? Let's get back on track here. And for those maybe of you who are out there maybe studying the Bible, maybe trying to learn about Jesus and trying to learn to come to Christ and you are convicted. Maybe you have seen your sin. Maybe you have seen the fact that, oh my goodness, yeah, my life is a bit of a mess at the moment with all this sin. And you've realized that there is a right way to go, that there is righteousness out there and that there is judgment. And maybe you're feeling a little bit, I don't know, maybe scared, a bit fearful about, oh my goodness, then what's going to happen to me? I plead with you this morning. Pursue a relationship with Jesus. Come on. Pursue a relationship with God, because he is the one, Jesus is the one that's been convicted for your sin. And when you accept that and you repent and get baptized, you will receive the Holy Spirit and all those things will be okay. But you need to make sure that you are feeling the Holy Spirit convicting you. Because those things, maybe those feelings that you're having of fear and all that, may well be the Holy Spirit trying to usher you in the right direction. Trying to say, hey, there is a chance. Let's go. All right, and secondly, the advocate leads. All right, the advocate leads. And it's important to note in this passage that Jesus, he's talking to the disciples and is saying that he is going to send the advocate to them. Okay? He's going to send the advocate to them. That the disciples were going to be the recipients of the advocate, or recipients of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 to 13. Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak not on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. And that word guide there in the middle, in the Greek, is hodegio, right? And that word literally means to lead one's way, or to lead something or someone. And so Jesus is saying here that the advocate will lead the disciples into all truth. Lead them into all truth. Well, truth about what? Well, in verse 14, Jesus says, but the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. That the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. And so I think it is the truth about Jesus, who he is, and what he wants us as his disciples to do. That the Holy Spirit will lead us to the truth. When he was there in the flesh, in the earth, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus would go, the Holy Spirit was going to come and continue that. Continue to lead the disciples where to go. But I think it is important to remember that the Holy Spirit will not lead us into something that is against Jesus' word or contradictory to Jesus. Right? So people, you know, I don't know, sometimes you might feel like, no, I feel like this is the right thing I need to do. And I feel like this is the right thing that I should do. Well, if it's against Jesus and against his teachings and his word, most likely not from the Holy Spirit. But it's important to remember that. It says in verse 13 that he will not speak on his own. And the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, will continue the work of Jesus. That even though Jesus is gone in the flesh, the Holy Spirit's going to come and continue the work that Jesus was doing and see through to completion. And that's why, you know, if you turn to the next book, in the book of Acts, what Mark talked about today, the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples this amazing scene. We could imagine what it would have been like, just this wind, this fire coming down, and the Holy Spirit comes into the disciples, and they're full of energy, full of power. And Peter goes and preaches the word, but the Holy Spirit comes, and when it comes on them, I mean, Jesus is gone, so he's not actually really, there's no really direct communication about what they need to do, the disciples. Jesus is gone, there's no red words in there, not as many red words in the book of Acts, right? There's not, because Jesus is gone, but the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is leading the disciples. The Holy Spirit is guiding the disciples to the way that they need to go. And that's why they know what they need to do. And again, brothers and sisters, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are you letting the Holy Spirit lead you as it did to the disciples? Does the Holy Spirit guide you? Does it lead you? And that's why when we read our Bibles and we pray and we have our quiet times and we ask God for understanding about the scriptures, and you, I don't know if you've had this, I know I have, I haven't understood, prayed, and then, oh, understand. That's the Holy Spirit leading us. When we feel that, when we ask for understanding, when we hear a message or something that we're not too sure about, that's the Holy Spirit leading you into truth. Maybe we feel the urge to open our mouths to testify about Jesus to someone. We all know that feeling. Walking along the street. Yep. Walking on our campuses. Walking in our schools. And we see those people and we converse with people. And opportunity comes so easily for us to mention something about Jesus. But the urge is there, and then obviously we walk away and we go, oh! Yep. I knew that was the one. Oh, what am I doing? We have that urge. We have those feelings, right? Maybe it's someone in your school that you've been talking to a lot. Maybe God's trying to make it very clear to you. Hey, the Holy Spirit is trying to make it clear to you. Talk to this person. Maybe it's that person at your work that you have a lunchtime slot with. I don't know. Come on. Talking to them about it. Maybe it's someone who's come up to you and is a friend, family, I don't know, but is pouring out their life to you. Telling you about all the problems that are going on in their life. Saying, hey, this is wrong, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, it's hopeless for me. And we sit there and we listen and we go, But we don't say anything. Yep. And amen if you do, that's great. And the Holy Spirit's guiding you, and amen to that. But if you're not doing that, listen to the Spirit. Maybe there's some deep sin, I don't know, in your life right now that you haven't talked about for a while. Maybe there's something that you're going on that you're listening right now and going like, oh yeah, there's that thing. And it's there, and you've wanted to talk about it for so long, but you're waiting for the right time to talk to someone. Oh no, that person I wanted to talk to left early from church, left early from midweek. Oh no, I don't know. I'll talk to this other person about it. Oh no, they left. And we have this urge to talk about it, but maybe you don't talk about it. Maybe it's something that we know that we need to do. James 4:17. When you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, it's sin. Maybe it's that good thing you know you ought to do, but you're not doing it. And I don't know about you, but if you are neglecting those things, those urges, those feelings, that the pricking of the Holy Spirit that's trying to say, hey, come this way, I'm trying to lead you this way, you've got to ask yourself, do you even want to be led by God? There's an awesome quote from Francis Chan. It's a book called The Forgotten God. And it's a book about the Holy Spirit. And it focuses a lot on Acts and about how the Holy Spirit, in some sense, is forgotten a little bit. We talk about the Father and the Son, but we sort of don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much. And he has this awesome quote. He says, when it comes down to it, many of us do not really want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Or more fundamentally, many of us don't want to be led by anyone other than ourselves. The whole idea of giving up control or the delusion of it is terrifying, isn't it? That challenges me. Because in some sort of way, I can use God as a, all right, this is my situation. Holy Spirit, do your thing. Right? Like, I'm leading, and I want the Holy Spirit to follow on and do this thing for me. Yeah. irony, it's the other way around. You know people that God has already used the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives already before you even come up and ask them about to come to church. There's people in here, you know, people in here who've experienced that or been on the receiving end or been on the good end of just having to ask them to come to church. I don't know. I don't know what else. But the thing is, we have to think about is we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Those urges, the pricking that we get in our hearts, we have to follow that willingly and humbly. I'll finish off here, but if you can turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8, please. We're going to pick it up and we're just going to read verse 29. And this is the story of the event of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We'll start in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.'" We'll stop right there. But if you're familiar with this passage, Philip then goes on to explain what he's reading, pretty much, to the eunuch, and he's explaining it to them. And then later on, the eunuch gets convicted and goes, "Oh, okay, I gotta get baptized. There's a body of water. Let's go get I'll get baptized now." And then he does go and get baptized. Yep. And it's an incredible thing, but Philip wouldn't have been there if he didn't listen to the Spirit. It says there in 29 that the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Yeah, the Spirit actually didn't say, "Hey, talk to him about, he's going to be reading the book of Isaiah. Explain this to him, explain this to him." He just said, no, just go that way and just stay near there. But if Philip didn't follow the Spirit, this eunuch wouldn't have known about Jesus. And right now, this one, look, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you have been feeling the Spirit trying to tell you something. Maybe it's there trying to prick you, trying to get you to go in one way, but maybe you yourself in your own, like me, you're trying to go the other way. Or you're trying to do your own thing where you're leading and the Holy Spirit is to follow. But I want to plead with you this morning, look, if you are feeling that something, feeling challenged about what you're doing, I plead with you, let yourself be led by the Spirit. Do something about it. Wherever you're at, do something about it. Because as we see here, when we are led by the Spirit, and we follow the Spirit willingly and humbly, God can do incredible things. If we talked to everyone we felt like we needed to talk to, if we were open about all the things we had the urge to be open about, God will do incredible things with that. And so in conclusion, I just want to let's be reminded that let's be convicted by the Spirit. Let's make sure that in our hearts that we are listening, that we are convicted by it. That we're challenged by the sin and the righteousness and the judgment. And point number two, that we are guided and led by the Spirit. That if you are hearing something today, maybe not even sure that it is the Spirit, talk to someone about it. But if you're hearing something and you're feeling something, do something about it. So that God can do incredible things. To God be the glory. Amen. Thank you. Amen.